If you'd like to turn with me, and I'll read aloud here in just a moment, Psalm 40. Does your life ever seem like your story, you know, everybody's got a story. Do you ever feel like your story's gone backwards? Maybe if you're a believer, you know, and you kind of got started and it was like, great, it's going good. And then like you're kind of like, wait a second. This not going the way it's supposed to go. You know, the words in the psalm here will say, you know, you may have had that new song. God gave you a new song, and now you've kind of, maybe it's been more than one cycle. You've felt more like it's the same old song again. Some crisis, some pain, some loss. You know, you thought you were, I thought I was never going to feel this way again. Or maybe you've fallen back into that particular sin trap that had you before, and now it seems like it's kind of got hold of your leg again. Same old song. If you're not experiencing that right now, you know somebody who is. Somebody, if you're not at that place, you know somebody who is. Somebody who has become desperate enough to be honest and admit it, that it kind of looks like we're going to sing that old song again. The psalm that we're looking at this morning is backwards, and we'll note that in a moment when we read it. Let's pray. But you know, Lord God, where you're going, and you know where you're taking your people. And so with that, we ask you now to give us ears and hearts and even mouths to sing a new song. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to give you the outline first before I give you read the psalm. I said it's backwards. You'll notice that the first part of the psalm, David is praising for something that has happened. We'll do more detail when we get into the sermon. Something has happened. He's giving praises. Then at the end of the psalm, he's like, whoa, what happened? And he's desperately praying again. So you'll note that break happens first 11 verses, and then you move on to 12. So this is God's word. Hear it. It's the psalm to the choir master, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Oh, Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Thanks be to God. He won't delay. He pours His Spirit out right now. He delays not as His people gather around His Word. You can be assured His Spirit has come into this place without delay. My translation, I put that one away, not to put the Bible away, but the version I've got, even of the same version, has a slightly different wording, so my word is still open before me, lest anybody take the body language that we were putting the Bible up. David's in trouble. We don't know what the trouble is. We'll look at another psalm later on in this series where we're told what's going on. Here we don't know. We don't know what happened. But all we know is David, trouble seemed to track David. How do they say? Trouble put cookies on his browser, so that is that right? Is that technical? Is that where the cookies go? I don't know where they go, so that pop-ups came up all the time for David. The enemy kind of knew where his weaknesses were and what would get his attention, and so they kind of yanked him around that way. So we don't know whether this is a pit that David was thrown into, no fault of his own. That happens, by the way. You can get into pit. You can get into the pit, and you got thrown there. We live in a broken world. We don't know whether this is one that David jumped into or was thrown into. Either way, and it can happen to you and happen to me either way. I can recount different ones that I evaluate different ways. Either way, you're in a pit and you're stuck. And the way David describes the pit, it's a miry bog. The pit is not only deep, but it's slimy. And the threat there is not only that he will die, but that he'll die dirty. You see, he's going to be found. His picture is he's going to be found in a way he would never want to be found. Don't raise your hand. Because even if people say their eyes are closed, they won't be. But can't you remember a time or times when it was done, you were like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't die doing that. I'm so glad I didn't die there. Somewhere I wasn't supposed to, somewhere one is not supposed to be, or doing something you don't want anybody to ever know you ever did, you know, or slumping over at your computer screen when it's up on the wrong site, you know, and you go, whoa, glad I didn't die then. Well, it's a kind of a picture of what David's talking about. Later on, he speaks directly of his iniquity, of his sin. So David's great problem is not only is he in danger of dying in the pit, but the pit will condemn his name forever. He said, don't let that happen. It says, I waited patiently. Yeah, it really says, I waited actively. expectantly, I think would be a better word there. David wasn't lying on his back, floating in the slime, doing nothing. He was looking. He was looking for the rescue. He was expecting the rescue. He was looking for the rescue. You know the difference in that. You know the difference in waiting and waiting. Occasionally, Lisa goes and does something with the grandchildren for overnight. And if I am home, she may very well find me waiting, that is, on the porch. Maybe. If you've ever been, you ever been stranded out somewhere and you were waiting, and because you were kind of looking around, has a car come yet? You know, maybe your car broke down and you're kind of waiting for the next car, like your friend's car or your family member's car, and you're kind of looking maybe down the interstate and you're thinking, no, same color, not the same make, and you're like, when are they going to get here? That's what David was doing. He was counting on what the old song says, that she, that is Jesus' chariot, will be coming around the mountain when she comes. So David is waiting to be swooped up, actively waiting. And when the rescue came, nothing he could have done. He had to be plucked up, swing low that chariot. He had to be plucked up out of the mire, the dirt of it and the death of it, the sin of it, the degradation of it, and the hopelessness of it. He is plucked up out of that, just like it, as if it had never been. Just whoosh, he's out of it. And that's when he says, he put a new song in my mouth. Strange words here. He says, he put a new song in my mouth. Many will fear and trust. It's another one of those strange Bible paradoxes. You know, we don't usually think of that we find fear and trust in the same situation, do we? We tend to put those like, I feared this time and I trusted this time. Or I feared that person and I trusted this person. But David says, I sang and they feared and trusted. He would have to be fearful. What is it Mr. Beaver said? Good. Yes, safe. Who said anything about safe? He said of Aslan the lion, famously. So if he's fearful enough, he can save. Here's a little, I'll make an application. When we talk to our friends about who this Christ is, tell them that he's a rescuer, not a rejecter. This God is not about the business of you bringing your friends or your family or your own heart to him for him to push you away. He loves doing this. He gets a great glory. He's a rescuer. So when you, and maybe it's not even your friend, maybe it's your enemy, but love him too. And you would like for that enemy of yours to know about this God, present him the way he presents himself, as one who loves swooping down and taking the likes of you and me out of dirty death pits. He loves doing that. One of the old Puritans get a bad rap. You get the impression they were all about rejection. Listen, this is when Walter Marshall, he says, listen, whether this is about you or about the friend you want to take this Christ to, this is what you have to think about him this morning if you're in the pit. And I quote, you must believe steadfastly that all your sins are blotted out and that you are reconciled to God and have access to his favor by the blood of Christ, and that he is your God and Father and altogether love to you and your all-sufficient, everlasting portion in happiness through Christ. So that's the way to deal with your sin. If you're stuck in a pit and your sin's grabbing hold of you, the only way you're going to get out of the pit is to remember who He is. He's the rescuer. The writer goes on to say, he said, you do thereby allure, he allures and wins our affections. He said, the affections that can't be forced by commands and threatenings, but must be sweetly won by allurements. Does that characterize your relationship with your own heart when you're stuck in the pit? Maybe you're stuck in the pit right now. I suspect I've come in here stuck in pits before. I mean, in rooms like this, maybe not. Yeah, I've come into the room stuck in a pit. How am I going to get out? How are you going to get out? You're going to have to be allured out. You can't be threatened out. If you threaten me, I'm just going to dig deeper down into the bog. Cover me up, you know. But if you will show me a Savior who loves to rescue, whose delight it is to rescue, then He allures you. And so no wonder He's happy. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord's trust. Spurgeon, Baptist Spurgeon, says, he translates it this way, oh, happy is the man. Happy is the man who makes the Lord his trust. As opposed to, he said, be careful about the lie. And when you look at that verse, he says, verse 4, don't turn to the proud, those who go after the lie. The word proud there, you know, we think of pride so abstractly. It's kind of hard to get a picture. It's like, okay, and it's got a lot of different ways of presenting itself, doesn't it? It's a disease that presents with lots of different symptoms. But the word that's used there is a word that's it's sometimes applied to the nation of Egypt, and it's talking about somebody you can't trust to do what they said they were going to do. That one of the commentators said, watch out for the empty blusterer, the one who just blusters and it means nothing. That just nothing happens. He's what you call a promise breaker. This kind of person is full, as one writer says, full of self-consequence. That is, he thinks that he's the one or she that makes things happen. The person of self-consequence, empty blusterer. Do it my way and it happens. Do mine and it does. Impose my will and that'll make me happy. If I get my way, I'll be happy. It's a lie. I won't be happy if I get my way. I'm going to quote another. I noticed Dave did this last week when he preached. He quoted old people. So I thought, I don't want to be like Dave. I'm going to quote some of these people. Another of those of the same century as the previous, 17th century, 1600s. He says, the proud and arrogant person is a trouble to all who talk to him, most of all to himself. The proud and arrogant person is a trouble to everybody, especially to himself. Everything is enough to vex him. Nothing is sufficient to make him happy, to please him. He's ready to quarrel with everything that falls out. He is quick on the blog. And hair trigger with the tweet. But blessed, he says, is the man who's trusted in the Lord. And he can't keep that to himself either. So David goes on and says, you've multiplied, verse 5, O Lord my God, your deeds, not too many to talk about, but I love to talk about what you've done for me. But then down in verse 6, he says, not just what you've done for me, bigger than that, he says, is what you've done in me. That, there, by the way, is a real sign of whether I'm trusting God, and I'm really dealing with the real God. It's not all that. Sometimes what he does for me, I can't read. I can't really say, well, I don't know whether that's good or bad, or we were talking about that as we prayed before the service. I don't know what he does for me. I can't always judge whether it's good for me or bad for me. But what here, David said, here's what he does in me. He says, here's what I used to be like, verse 6. David didn't make this up kind of theoretically. He had experienced this. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted. David knew what that was like. He knew what it was like to do the outward stuff. He knew what it was like. I was telling somebody the other day, I struggle with the difference in myself of trusting God or want to make it look like I trust God. Sometimes I'm satisfied if you just think I'm trusting God, if people just kind of get the impression I'm trusting God. And David said, I tried that. You're not delighted in that. You know what this looks like in personal relationships. That people will want to make things look publicly different than they are in private. An abusive spouse. Real, in public, really chummy. You know? And I don't know how, whether it's when they get in the car or they, it's a different life. And if you're the abused one, with public sacrifice and offering, are you delighted? That do you any good? If you get one thing in public and something else, this is what David says. God's like that. He would be your spouse, you see. And if you're sweet to him in public, but you abuse him in private, he's not impressed. It doesn't have to be an American, but maybe you've had an abusive work relationship. You've had a boss who everything looks really good up front, but then you're manipulated and abused. All kind of relationships. You got your own relationships, and you know what it feels like. So David said, that's the way I was. That's why I kind of fall back into that. But then he says, there's a great word here. Then. Verse 7. Maybe the most, if you've got your Bibles open, look at them. You got a then? You're with me? You got a then? Verse 7, you got a then? You need to get a then. You need to get a then, not only on the page. Do you have a then in your life? Do you have a then? And you ought to have occasionally. You know, you ought to, since we're not all fixed all together all at once, there ought to be some thens. That he's giving you this open ear. And then he says, look at here. He said, you see what he's done? He said, this is what's written of me. He said, this is what God's done in me, written on me, written of me. He says, he's written this of me. I desire to do your will, oh my God. I delight to do your will, oh my God. See, it's not just what God has done outside of David for David. It's what he's done in David. And David says, listen, you've given me a new heart. You see, he's given David new ears, dug ears for him, give him a new heart, and he's given him a new mouth. So I've told, verse 9, I've told the glad news of deliverance in the congregation. Not hidden it. So everything's going great. New ears, new heart, new mouth, new song. Verse 12. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me. I cannot see. That's present tense. My heart, present tense, fails me. It's backwards. What about he had this praise, new ears, new heart, new mouth, new song, and now all of a sudden, what? It's as if somebody's come along and pulled a black bag over David's head. Worse than that, somebody's put some of those virtual reality goggles on his head. And what David sees now is awful. But he says, deliver, be pleased to deliver. May hurry. May they be put to shame who love to see me in this day, who want to see me die in the slime. There are those who want to see me die in the slime. He said, don't let it happen. The difference in the one who knows this God, as David knew him, David had had this experience with him in the past, he'd seen this happen, and the one who doesn't know him is when David feels himself sliding back into the slime again, what does he say? Come! Come get me! You see, he's known this God, he has been allured before, and he has said, come allure me again. He said, he has been rescued before, he sees him not as a rejecter, but as a rescuer. And he says, you've done it before, come get me. Listen, he got new ears, he's got a new heart, he's got a new mouth, a new song. But here's what doesn't change. He says, I'm poor and needy. The Lord takes thought for me. Not just of me. You got that? He doesn't just take thought of me. He takes thought for me. He is for me. And I don't care how much of the rest of my thought goes awry. He'll do the thinking. David says, he's not. I'm safe. Needy, but safe. We can't leave the psalm without noting that the writer of Hebrews picks up on this psalm. And I'm going to invite you to turn, if you want to Hebrews 10, verse 5. Let's see if I marked it in here. Writing about Christ, the writer of Hebrews picks it. He takes this some verses out of Psalm 40, and he applies them to Christ, or if you will, Christ applies them to himself. See, it applied to King David, who was that son whom Christ was going to fulfill all that, the real King Christ. And so it applied. All these things applied to David in the moment. They apply to us. Because we're God's people, sealed into Christ. But here's listen to this. Of Christ, he said, sacrifice is an offering you've not desired, but a body you've prepared for me. What's the difference? What did he give him back in the psalm? He gave him ears. The writer here said, better than ears. I gave you the whole thing. He said, a body. In other words, Christ took a body for us. He took your ears, he took your heart, he took your mouth, he took it all. Burnt offerings and sin offerings, you've taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. Skipping down to verse 10. See, while that matters is Christ really, all that was true of Christ. He never thought a thought that didn't please the Father, never said a word that didn't please the Father. He was never in a place that he wasn't supposed to be. Always where he was supposed to be. And by that, verse 10 of Hebrews 10, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. See, in that body, he did everything you needed to have done so that in that body, you get a body. And not only in this Christ do you get new ears to hear to his word come alive to you, new heart so that it actually changes your affections. The things that would allure you have changed. And he gave you a new mouth. You can tell it to everybody. And you can sing it. But it's more than that. You see, he went down in the pit and he ruined the pit. He ruined the pit. One day, no pit. One day, no pits. No more cookies on your heart, on your browser. No more allurements to take you off into sin. None of that. It's all going to be gone, because not only will He have given you new ears and a new heart and a new mouth and a new song, He's going to give you a new creation. This table is the first taste of that creation. Won't you come? Let's pray. You are my help and deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. And we pray this in the name of the one who has come and will come back, even Jesus. Amen. Would the elders meet me here at this good table?